I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Underwear, armpit hair, many imitators, but no one compares.
Badass Women's Hour XL with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell, and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio.
One, two, three, four!
Welcome to Badass Women's Hour XL with me, Harriet Minter, Emma Sexton and Natalie Campbell. We are talking about why it is just so controversial to have a little mojito on a sunny day on the tube. Diane Abbott got into trouble for it this week and we want your views. Do you think she should have been prosecuted for having a drink on the tube? We are also going to be talking about standards of beauty for women and why we need to change them. We've got two incredible women coming into the studio who are going to tell you exactly why you are beautiful just as you are. So, first of all, Diane Abbott in the news. Somebody took a picture of her on the tube last Saturday with a can of, was it M&S mojito?
Yes.
Good picking, Diane. An M&S mojito can in hand, having a little drink, and it has gone crazy because it is technically illegal to drink on any of the TfL forms of transport for London. Although Alexis was just telling me that absolutely nobody ever has ever been arrested for it. I get on the tube on a Friday or Saturday night. It is filled with people drunk and drinking. It's quite often sometimes filled with aggressive people drunk and drinking. I don't see anyone doing anything about it. And here is a woman having a drink on a Saturday. She's not working. She's on her way home, I'm assuming. And we are vilifying her for it. Emma, do you think she should be in trouble for this?
No, not really. I mean, it's just... Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, she wasn't sitting there swigging out of a bottle of vodka, was she? Like some of these little, they're quite light on alcohol, aren't they? These drinks, mm-hmm. are they?
Yeah.
Like these mixers, they're very low alcohol.
They are, although technically we would say it doesn't really matter. It's still alcohol and drinking alcohol on the tube is illegal.
Yes, and I can see a place for that because, like you say, you can go on the tube and there's lots of people drunk and disorderly. I don't think we should be encouraging it, but I think giving someone a hard time because they had a can of very low alcohol booze on a 1 p.m. on a Saturday is a little bit overdramatic, do we not think?
Nat, she's an MP though. Shouldn't we be holding, if any other MP did something that was illegal, wouldn't we pull them up on it?
As you said that, you know the answer's no.
Yeah.
I'm sure lots of shenanigans happen. So look, yes, MPs should be held to a higher standard. And anyone that takes on a role in public life has to agree to adhere to standards in public life. There are sort of, I think, seven principles. So Diane knows that drinking alcohol on a train is probably one of those things that will get her into hot water. That said, I categorically believe that the media does not like black women.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely do not like Diane Abbott. And so she can do no right. Everything she does is wrong. Everything she does becomes a headline to discredit what she has achieved as a woman in Parliament. And so part of me just thinks, leave her alone. But the reality is when you start writing it down, because at the beginning I was like, you know, this is just the media being out for Diane. But it is illegal, technically. You use the word technically. It is illegal.
Yep.
No one has been punished. I was on the tube and there were people drinking today. No one did anything about it. But she's also campaigned to end the sale of cheap alcohol.
I mean, it was an M&S drink. It's not a cheapie.
Well, no, I'm sure
it's a premium quality drink in a tin.
I think she probably meant some Alco Pops. And so there is that the hypocrisy almost there. So I can see why people would have a go at it. Personally, I'm like, it was a Saturday. She probably had a hard week. It was a little something to take the edge off. I wouldn't have been having a mixer, personally. Mm-hmm. I'd have just had the rum straight.
Brown paper bag or not?
I mean, no, I'd have just rolled with it. I'd probably had my own glass in my bag. And I wouldn't have apologised. I know she had to, but I wouldn't have apologised. I would have just said, I'm human. I needed a drink because I'm away home.
Yeah, because it's that holding people to a higher state of accountability. Like they are superhuman people, and time again people fail. So why do we keep doing it? Why do we keep like telling that these people have to behave to a certain level when they're just not?
I think there's a spectrum though. So something like MP's expenses, I expect you to behave properly. I expect you to write down what it is you're spending your taxpayers' money on.
And also on expenses there's a spectrum as well. You know, if you've gone out for a late dinner and you've put it through on expenses, I'm rolling my eyes, but I'm letting you off.
Yeah.
You're building your new duck house through on expensive. Not as happy about that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the same thing in this scenario. What I would have tweeted is, anyone who has done nothing wrong today, you can give me a hard time. Anyone that has done nothing wrong this week, you can give me a hard time. If you are perfect, you can give me a hard time. But the reality is we all slip up. And I'm sure there are lots of things that are illegal that we've probably done not knowing. You know, if we've dropped a piece of gum or a bit of litter on the street, or you've not picked up your dog's poo, is that illegal?
No, but you can be fined for it.
Yes. There we go. Things that are basically wrong. If you've tapped your child on the hand, things that you're not supposed to do, fine, give her a hard time. But if you've done something wrong this week, you've done something wrong today, leave the woman alone. Just leave her alone.
Let her drink a mojito in peace, wherever she is.
Exactly.
Yes.
Cheers to you, Diane. The other big story this week has obviously been the climate change protests happening across London. I got caught up in it on Thursday. I was on my way to a meeting, forgot it was happening. Ended up on the wrong side of Waterloo Bridge to my meeting, and then was going to hop on the bus and go across and couldn't because there are all these people with flowers and plants and very colourful signs and really quite comfy looking deck chairs chilling out in the sunshine, having a lovely time. Protest culture feels like it is hitting an all-time high in the UK at the moment. I think we've had more protest marches in the last... Six months, we probably have. Then I feel like I've seen in my entire lifetime.
All for genuine good reasons, though. Yeah. Not just because people are bored, H.
Well, I did actually wonder whether global warming was slightly responsible for it because we have better weather and notoriously people are less likely to protest in the rain. What do you think about it, ladies? I know, Nat, you're not necessarily a marcher, but do you think it has value to our society? Do you think ultimately this is going to change how we see, in this case, climate change, but political issues in general?
There's lots there to unpack. So firstly, I personally am not a marcher, but I do believe in peaceful protest. I believe that if you want to send a message to decision makers, to people in power, that you have the right to peacefully protest. On the first couple of days, I was like, yeah, good on ya, parents and teachers and NHS workers and whoever else is out there. And then when I had to get my flight to Gatwick, I was like, you better not be anywhere near my train line or stopping my train. So I guess I'm one of those people that are fine with it as long as it's not disrupting their life. What I'm not fine with is climate change. What I'm not fine with is the fact that we do need to be doing more to tackle what's going on with the environment. But at the same time, do I always recycle everything? No. So I feel that it's important to have the conversation, but we need to make it easy for people to act. And I don't know whether that starts with us first, whether it starts with companies, whether it starts with government. And it's a bit of a hard one.
Well, I mean, the difficult thing is the three things that we could do that would be the most impactful for climate change would be no more flights, all going vegan, and not having any more kids. Population explosion is one of the biggest problems. There are too many people on an overpopulated planet. I think somebody was estimating that we're going to be at 11 billion by 2050.
Sustainable.
It's not sustainable. So those are huge, big, even going vegan, which is something entirely in our control, or not taking any flights, relatively in our control,
are big, big things to ask. So, yes, I completely, I'm thrilled we're talking about it. I think Extinction Rebellion have done an amazing job at bringing it into everyone's awareness. Consciousness. Yep. What I'm not clear on is, are lots of little steps going to be enough?
Yeah. I don't know. Do we just accept our doom? We've not been living in a sustainable way for a long, long time. Whenever I go into a big shopping mall, I'm like, all this stuff is going to end up in a landfill ultimately. And like, we just keep pouring more stuff into shops and it all ends up in landfill. We're looking at, if you saw the documentary on BBC One, the deforestation that's happening. Our sea levels have already risen by 20 centimetres. There are people in Louisiana who are already climate refugees because they have lost their plots of land because the water levels have risen. You know, we do need to do something, but I do wonder if it's too late for us because we're taking away the forest. We're completely mucking up the whole balance of the planet. We know we need the trees to sort out the methane and the CO2. Yet there we are, like every day, like hectares of, you know, football fields are being cut down. So
I thought you were going to say spectators. You mean hectares?
She meant hectares, but I quite liked hectators.
People
watching disappearing.
I have a whole lexicon of words that I've made up or words that I just don't understand. That was one of them.
So I'm with you, but I do think we can. It isn't too late is the answer. And also, even the things that you said in terms of going vegan or not having children or not flying, they all have unknown unknowns. So if you stop flying and you stop people traveling, okay, fine, are we taking ships? Are we not going anywhere at all? So then what happens to cultural understanding? What happens to multiculturalism and awareness? If we all go vegan, we need to grow the food somewhere. So you still got to clear some land. And I'm assuming it can't all be organic if we're going to actually have anything to eat. So that has implications. And so there is no simple answer. And so this is my only challenge with people that protest, that go to a, it must be this. Mm. If you protest, you have to be willing to have a debate and compromise and find a happy medium that works in the immediate future, but also long term. And it's a bit like everything that's going on in the world right now, whether it's Brexit or anything else. When people swing to an opposing end and refuse to listen to the other side or refuse to get to a place of compromise so things can move forward, then that for me is the dangerous side of protest.
But I think this protest is unlike any other and there is no compromise on this. Basically, we are fast tracking to a really, really serious situation that we are going to experience in our lifetime.
But one of the things that they're asking for is to cut carbon emissions, I think, in the UK to zero by 2050. It's either 2030 or 2050. I've got it wrong. Fine. Okay. Laudable. Realistically, it's not going to happen. So if you're going to keep campaigning until that is passed into law, something that's ultimately going to fail, unless we stop driving every single car and we shut down every single energy, you know, and we build lots of wind turbines. But to build the wind turbine, you need metal, you need things. It's just not possible. So what is possible and what's incremental change? What does that look like? Or what can we do to combat CO2 versus having it must be this? That's my problem.
So that's where I think we differ, because on a protest level, I feel like if you're going to protest, you have to go to the extreme. You have to go for, in an ideal world, what you would get. Because at the point of protest, you're just awareness raising. At the point of discussion and agreement, yeah, you're probably calling it back in. But at the point of protest, that is a point where you're like, this is ultimately what needs to happen. And if you don't go for the extreme, then if you go to 50%, well, then when you get into the negotiation stage, you're going to end up with 25. Mm. Whereas if you go for 100% at the get-go, maybe at the negotiation stage, you get 50.
Okay, you've just swung me to your argument, because I was thinking about the civil rights movement. Yes. And I was like, yeah, okay, fair enough. If Rosa Parks said, actually, I might sit halfway between.
We're done. We're ending the show here.
Yeah, no, you won me over. You won me over already. Fine. Yeah.
Okay, so ultimately, I think what we're saying is we're quite keen on the protest movement that's happening at the moment.
Yeah. As long as
just
don't
make us walk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
She'll get you talking.
We're singing the praises of your beautiful, because we have two women in the studio who are pretty much single-handedly going to try and change beauty standards across our media. Welcome to Badass Women's Hour, Jo Wallace and Sophie Blofield. Lovely to see you.
Hello.
You are the founders of a new online platform launching tomorrow, I think, called La Norme Beauty. Tell us what it is.
So La Norme Beauty, as I said, we are on social media at the moment and our website launches tomorrow. But La Norme Beauty is an online platform that really pushes and promotes inclusive and diversity across the beauty industry. So we're really pushing inclusion, diversity. And really our mantra is there's no such thing as normal. We are all normal. We are all normal. Beauty is, you know, everyone should be involved in the beauty narrative, no matter your gender, your size, your age, your race. Everyone should be a part of this.
So I have to ask the question that I always ask whenever anyone comes on and talks about beauty in any way, shape or form on the show, which is, do we need to be pushing the beauty agenda? Can we not just leave people as they are in their natural state, makeup free, warts and all? Happy as, should we not just be promoting an agenda of you were born that way and look at you, you're lovely?
Yeah, Jo. And I think that's exactly what we are saying. I think by saying that there's no such thing as normal, we are all the norm, we're saying mm-hmm. that you are normal. Forget this kind of norm that we've been sold as, you know, people as we've grown up from the beauty industry and the advertising industry. We're all normal. So let's talk to everybody. Let's have everybody be part of this conversation.
I've got a hashtag for you. Hashtag come as you are. That's the Harris. Come as you are. Yeah, is what it is. So it was connected to Harriet's point. You know, you mentioned diversity, you mentioned inclusion. For lots of people, they're like, well, what does that mean? And lots of people go, oh, is this just about there's no black models again? What do you actually mean by diversity? Why is this different to anything else?
I think we're not necessarily saying that we are different to anything else. We're saying that this is a conversation that we absolutely believe in. And we have professional and personal reasons to be interested in this. I work as a creative director in advertising for 20 years. And Sophie has worked in the beauty industry for 10 years. And we've both experienced kind of struggles and barriers potentially to try and promote the kind of beauty or the kind of people that we believe are the norm. So for us, this is about us joining that conversation because we really ultimately think that this is a conversation everybody should be part of, and that's the whole point.
Yeah, and I do, you know, just to Jo's point, the more people that are talking about this conversation, the better. I wish everyone was talking about it, and then maybe we actually wouldn't have to talk about it.
Jo, that was my impression of Steve in Wigan, by the way, just for anyone that wasn't sure.
Jo, being a creative director working in advertising, how receptive are your clients now to doing campaigns? Because I'm seeing there are certain brands that are embracing it. I do feel like we're seeing more you know, imagery that you're promoting, which is diverse, but you know, is just different body shapes, different skin tones, just different. I mean, I feel like you guys are pushing that more, but how receptive are your clients to actually wanting to run campaigns using people who are just as they are?
Well, I think it kind of depends on the clients. I work on a range of clients, and not just talking about my now, here and now, but talking about kind of over the 20 years, I would say that, unfortunately, when it comes down to casting, whether it be for beauty or for any kind of advert, clients get a little bit nervous around pushing what is accepted as the norm. And I'll often be trying to put through a casting brief where we're trying to push a different kind of look, and they'll think that this is some kind of political statement if they're going to push someone that looks a bit different. And I'm thinking, why? Why is that a political statement? This is a representation of the population. So I think it really depends on the client. And I've worked with some that are brilliant and some that are a little less so.
Mm. So brands are still nervous. Sorry.
Because I think we are still in that territory where anything that brands don't consider the norm, and I'm saying the norm to be white, blonde hair, brown hair, yeah, skinny, size 6 to 8 skinny, you know, traditional.
Perfectly symmetrical.
Yeah, exactly. Barbie, basically. That is, if anything other than that, to them still feels like a political statement. And we really can come as we are when we get to a point where it's not a political statement. It is just a, here's a selection of people that can advertise this thing. Choose one. And it's a simple conversation. I feel like we're a long way away from it being that simple conversation.
Yeah, and just to that point, I mean, I was in a client workshop, you know, a few months ago where, you know, the simple notion of me suggesting that they have a woman of colour in their clothing campaign, you know, as one of the women that they celebrate, they kind of got really nervous. And it kind of brought it home to me again, wow, people just still aren't there yet. We're not saying that you have to make a massive political statement. It's, you know, you just shouldn't be nervous about it. Just get involved and be involved in the conversation and let's all make it so it's not a thing anymore.
I think the closest thing that people listening at home might be able to equate this to, one of the reasons production companies and channels or producers say that there aren't more, there isn't more content specifically with female leads or with women leaders because men don't watch that sort of content, but women will watch content with men on. So you're reaching more of the population. It's a similar thing here where brands think, well, if I have a black woman, then white women won't buy it, or they'll think it's about the black woman. It's like, no, in the same way that having a female lead doesn't mean men won't watch it, changing your ad lineup doesn't mean that everyone else won't buy it. Mm. And we need to get people past that hurdle.
Yeah, definitely.
Ladies, what do you think about this idea that this move towards more inclusive, more diverse imagery in magazines is somewhat tokenistic?
Mm.
That magazines have realised, here's a bandwagon, it's cool, we'll probably get some press. If I'm thinking specifically, actually, of the Cosmo Tess Halliday cover, we'll get some press out of it, let's do it, almost for that kind of sensationalist look what we're doing-ness.
Yeah, and I think that is a rightful question to ask. You know, it's a bit like the fact that, I mean, Sophie and I are together, we are a couple, we are gay, and it's a bit like the kind of pride conversation around, are these brands jumping on the bandwagon of pride because they just want to sell shit? I mean, stuff.
Yeah. they want to sell stuff. Sorry about that. Apologies stuff. For the language.
Or are they really interested in this kind of mission? And I think it's similar in this world, but there are brands that kind of mean it. So in reference to that, for example, the autumn winter campaign from Jigsaw last year in 2017, actually a couple of years ago, they kind of referenced the fact that immigrants are essential. So they talked about their kind of view on Britain and what that means and the way that they wouldn't be the brand they are without migrants. They wouldn't be able to produce the clothes that they produce without migrants. And the creative industries are so reliant on different perspectives, and we're not all kind of from a certain cut. Maybe we are a little bit too much, but the point is that a diverse perspective makes for better ideas and it makes for better things in the long run.
What about traditionally advertising and the beauty industry? It's always been about aspiration, hasn't it? And it's always been about basically making us all feel super insecure. So we want to buy that beauty product, or we want to buy that dress because we think we're going to look as amazing as that woman does. What is advertising all about then if it's not about aspiration, if it just becomes actually you just come as you are?
Yeah, so for me, I think that's a really valid point to kind of say that advertising makes people feel insecure. But I personally would love to kind of think that what if you say to people, do you know what? You look amazing as you are. And imagine if we could celebrate and help you look who you are, help you to be who you are with this product. It makes you even more you. Why can't we do that?
Yeah, love to. I mean, I've only ever grown up with advertising that's just made me, you know, especially advertising aimed at me as a woman, to make me just not feel good enough. And I just can't imagine. And I think it'd be brilliant, but I'm just like, what would it be like if I actually felt good enough?
Yeah. I'd like to think that's the way forward.
And so how will the content be different? How will it tell a story to Emma that, you know, she can be who she wants to be?
I think, you know, in a way this content is different because it does come from Jo, and, you know, it comes from our struggles and what we've been through. And certainly myself as a mixed race woman growing up, I, you know, so for example, we're going to be talking about Dove and the Show Us campaign. And, you know, if I'd had something like that growing up for me, wouldn't that have been a wonderful thing? But as a mixed race girl growing up in the 90s, I mean, look, the only person I can name is perhaps Scary Spice as a person that actually looked like me, which is crazy, right? And then, you know, just on the way here, I was thinking, actually, why was she called Scary Spice? Was it because her hair was big and she was seen as being loud and curly? That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just think if I'd had, you know, websites and, you know, like Girls Talk out there, which Adjoa is doing an amazing job of, and Live Little with Geldam, if I'd had websites like that, wouldn't that have been an amazing thing for me to kind of grow up thinking that I'm not different? And, you know, maybe I wouldn't have relaxed my hair, and maybe I wouldn't have kind of worn my mum's foundation, which was 10 shades too light. Actually, I think growing up, I didn't even know that. So my mum's white, just so the listeners know. But I think growing up, I didn't even know that there was a shade of foundation for my colour, because I certainly didn't see it in magazines and on billboards. So I just used to steal my mum's concealer, which was, had awful consequences.
Ladies, thank you so much for coming in and chatting about it. It sounds like you're doing great things. When people are logging on tomorrow, where should they be looking for it? Give us all the details.
So you can find us on Instagram at Lenorme Beauty, and we're on Pinterest, Twitter and Facebook by the same name.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And the website is www.lenormebeauty.com.
Fabulous. Thank you so much.
The Fempire Strikes Back. Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
Siobhan Gray, Managing Director of Women for Women International. They are launching the first ever She Inspires Me car boot sale on Brewer Street Car Park, London, on the 11th of May. Siobhan, why a car boot?
Oh my goodness, I'm so happy that you said the date and the venue, because that gives me more time to talk about the clothes and the bargains. So let me just tell you, this is actually the fourth time. My team at Women for Women will kill me if I don't say they've been working very hard on this for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
But each year it gets bigger and bigger. And this year we're going to have 50 boots and market stalls in Brewer Street Car Park on Saturday, May the 11th. And basically how it works is that all the Women for Women family, all our sisterhood, all our supporters and brands that support us and our fashion VIPs that support us all clear out their wardrobes. I mean, it's not like me cleaning out my wardrobe. It's like these clothes have been worn once, if at all. And they're most incredible bargains. And basically, if your listeners love fashion and bargains and making the world a better place, they need to get down to Brewer Street.
And what kind of things are you going to be selling? What should I be expecting to buy?
So there's all sorts of things. There's fashion, accessories, bags, shoes. We also have a beauty concession with Charlotte Tilbury. There's basically everything that if you love fashion and bargains, and from very, very high end to high street. I heard your people on before mentioning Jigsaw. We've got Jigsaw with us. We have Mint Velvet with us. We have Echo Bennett with us. But we also have super high end, like the Outnet, do a fantastic boot and raise a ton of money. They're our partners and they love Women for Women and we love them. And this is all brought to you with Women for Women, but also our wonderful supporter, Alex Eagle, who gets us the amazing car park. And then there's also brands like Tempoli London and Manano Blahnik and VIPs like...
Do I need to get there really early to like...
Well,
I feel like I'm just going to be like stumbled, like...
Oh my goodness, let me tell you. So already we've sold 700 tickets. Last year we had 1,500 people come. So I think that you guys and your listeners need to get their tickets straight away.
Yeah.
On our website at womenforwomen.org.uk.
Like a pro.
£10 to get in. All the money from the tickets and all the money that we raise on the day. Mm-hmm. And last year we raised £160,000.
Amazing.
Goes to support the work of Women for Women International.
Absolutely wonderful. And you've got some celebs coming along as well, don't you?
Yep, we do.
Who should we be looking out for?
So you could look out for Alice Tempoli. You could look out for Charlotte Olympia. You could look out for the trainers that belong to Helen Mirren.
Ooh. Oh my gosh.
She's a size 40. I don't think giving anything away.
That's
there.
That's very sick.
Size 8.
Oh.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, I'll put an insole in. I don't
care.
It's
fine. 39. 5 is a 7.
Yeah. Some gorgeous trainers by Philippe Model, brand new and signed.
I just feel like if you had Helen, if you could say I've literally walked in Helen Mirren's shoes, you'd be so excited, wouldn't you?
I love that. That is an Insta story worth having.
It sounds like an absolutely epic event for an organisation that does brilliant things. So tell us, some of our listeners, what sort of work you do for women.
Thank you. So as I said, all the money that's raised on the day goes to support the work of Women for Women International. And we are a charity that works with women survivors of war in conflict and post-conflict zones. So that means countries like Afghanistan, Iraq, the Democratic Republic of Congo. And what we do is we train women because women are most affected by war. They're often the least combatants. So they're most affected. And a lot of the women that are in our program, in fact, most of them are victims of sexual violence in conflict used as a weapon of war. So when we find the women and we offer them our program, they grab it. Because it's so important to bring the women into any peace building situation, then the peace will be much more sustainable. And so we offer these women a 1-year training program that teaches them four things, or offers them four things: information about their health, their rights, a business skill and how to run a business, and also what we call a sisterhood. And that's why I mentioned the sisterhood of the fashion car boot sale, is that the women that we work with, Women for Women International, can feel like they're completely isolated, what they've been through, what their community has been through. And often when they've been raped or violated sexually, they can be outcast from their community, or they don't want to talk about it. They have all that trauma as well. And a bit like we're doing now, we bring them together in groups and they'll sit around with women like them straight away. And they'll, just like you did when you told me to put my headphones on, we'll be a sisterhood, and they'll know that they're not alone. And when I've met women in Rwanda or in the DRC, that's the number one thing that they say, is knowing that they're not alone anymore. And so one of the reasons that we love the car boot sale is that it enables women in London, in the UK, because people come actually from all over the country. I should say that we are not just about London, hence my northern accent. It enables these women to come, pay their £10, get the best bargains of the year and make a difference to women in conflict-affected countries. So it's a real global sisterhood that we're promoting.
It's also very sustainable.
Yeah.
Because it's not about buying, you know, completely brand new things. It, you know, being able to have something that was once loved by someone else is very important.
Definitely. And I would say that means it's really guilt-free shopping, right? It's the best kind of shopping, ladies. So it's totally like sustainable, eco-friendly. We're all about recycling and reusing and super bargains.
And what other fundraisings do you do? So this is this like a key event in the calendar for you guys? But then what are you doing the rest of the year? How can other people get involved in your charity?
Oh my goodness, I love you. Thank you for saying that. So if you can't make it to the car boot sale, and I can't because I'll be working there, there are many other ways that you could support Women for Women International. So first of all, you could go to our website, which is womenforwomen.org.uk. And the number one thing that you could do if you wanted to is sponsor a sister. So again, this thing of sisterhood, we're obsessed with it. But that's good. It's a good obsession. So you could sponsor a sister through our programme. So I sponsor a woman in the Congo, and basically that means that I am enabling her to enrol in the one-year training programme. And she learns the trainings that I mentioned earlier. And then she also gets a stipend. So from the money that I give, she gets $10 a month. And that's really transformational for her, because giving her that little bit of money, that little bit of it means that she straight away has a different standing in her community. Her husband will let her come to the program. But also what mostly the women do with the money is they save it. Mm-hmm. They save it so their children can go to school, or they save it and then they become a cooperative with other women that they've gone through the training. Mm-hmm. Basically, these women grab this opportunity. That's why I never like to say we give them something. Mm-hmm. We don't give them anything. We offer them and they grab it and they do incredible things. And what we also know is that they will go on and tell other women about what they've learned. And we know that at least 5 other women will learn stuff from the woman that's been through our program.
Well, it sounds really sustainable. Like, yeah, it's not just a sort of you're really going in there having massive impact.
Definitely. Yeah. We've got some incredible stats on our website that will show you the impact that we have, because we follow the women for 1 and 2 years, because it's really important that that I can look in people's eyes and say the money that you're investing, the money that you're choosing to give to us and not something else, is really making a sustainable impact. So that's really important to us. So if people want to support us, please follow us on social at Women for Women UK. And if you'd like to sponsor a woman, that would be incredible. We would love that. And we'll link you up with a woman. You'll have this one-to-one connection. You can write to her if you want, and she can also write back if she's able to and it's safe to do so. And can I just quickly tell you one more story about a woman that I met in Rwanda? I'm so lucky to be able to go to these places, but what I do is I try my best to bring the stories back and share them. So I met a woman in Rwanda and she said, "Oh, Siobhan, obviously through a translator, can I show you?" And she was doing this, listeners, I'm now going underneath my bra. Good job this is not TV. So went into her bra, I was like, what is she doing? And out she takes her letter and she unfolds it, and it's the letter that she received from her sponsor in the UK. Aww. And she read it out to me and she said, "Please can you tell Katie..." Because this is the thing that the ladies that I meet think I know everybody, and that's fine. I'm never going to disabuse them of that. I will say, yes, I will. Will you please tell Katie that I love her and thank you, and that she must come to my home? And then she was like, I must get my husband. Her husband comes and he says thank you. So that connection is so powerful for the women, to know that somebody is thinking of them, that they are not forgotten. Yeah. Because so many of the women on our programme think that the world has moved on and that they're forgotten. Yeah. And what Women for Women does is gives these women a voice and tells them that you're not alone. There's women like us in the studio here thinking about them, talking about them right now on Saturday night. OMG, amazing. So thank you for those wonderful questions and allowing me to bring them into the room, and for your listeners.
Oh, thank you, Siobhan. If you are inspired and you want to hit the car boot sale, it is on Brewer Street Car Park in London on the 11th of May. And Siobhan, where do people go for tickets?
They go to womenforwomen.org.uk. Tickets are £10. Please go now.
Go now before we buy them all. Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4!
This has been the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. If you want to hear more from us, you can come follow us on social media at Badass Women's Hour, HR, or leave us a review and tell us how much you love us. We really need to feel the love. 5 stars should do it.